nsemmilkom, jiena Klaj Żamnit, nixtieq nilqa' il-semmija tal-Campus FM 103.7 għall-programm ieħor fis-sens ila għalfejn id-demokrazija. Dan il-programm se jrin nitkellmu ma' Karim Adams u ma' Dr. Louis Kirkop u fih se niddiskutu il-barrani jew il-min mhuwiex parti eżatt mid-demokrazija u r-responsabilità tad-demokrazija lehom. Dan il-programm sa jkun bl-Ingliż din id-darba u għalhekk issa se naqleb il-lingwa u nintroduċi il-programm bl-Ingliż. I welcome the listeners of Campus FM 103.7 for this program in the series Għalfejn id-demokrazija, which translates loosely to Where is democracy going, but also Why do we choose democracy? Today's episode will deal with the question of the foreigner or the other within democracy. The word democracy includes, as we have mentioned a number of times, the idea of the demos, the people, which seems to indicate that there is a singularity or a unity which decides the policies or the way democracy will go into. However, obviously, this idea hides within it the fact that every unity or every people, every demos, will necessarily include some element of diversity, will in a way have those who are or who are seen more as one of us, as the inner circle, but also those who are on the verges, who are either on the way in into this element of who we are, and those who are outside. So this gray zone between who we are and who this people is, this diversity is essential because, as we know, nothing can live without an exchange with what is outside it, whether this is a biological organism or a society. Interaction and exchange is always necessary for life to continue. However, this creates some sort of tension within a democratic state or a nation, in our case, with regards to how are these people who are not exactly one of us, but in this state of becoming one of us, to be treated by democracy. What responsibilities do we have towards them? What is to be expected from them? And what responsibilities do they have? So today, to talk about these questions or these challenges which the role of the foreigner presents to democracy, we have with us Dr. Louis Kirkop, who is an educator and a teacher educator, and she teaches about issues of diversity in schools and about the ethics and the politics of the ethics classroom. So I welcome Dr. Louis Kirkop to our program. We also have Karim Adams with us today. Yes. Karim is 32 years old. He is originally from Ghana but has lived in Malta for the past 15 years. He arrived in Malta at the age of 17. And following the release from his detention, he lived briefly in Zabar and then Zabbouch, where he has been quite involved in the local community. He presently works as a security officer with a private company and is also studying Maltese culture and tradition and following a course in integration at the MCAST. So I welcome Karim and Louis. Together with me today is Professor Michael Żamnit and Michael Grech, and we are being assisted technically by Redent Abdullah. So just to start the program, maybe Louis and Karim, we can get an idea of what we understand by democracy in general. What does this term mean to us? So maybe Karim. Okay.
Thank you for this opportunity.
You are welcome.
And for me, for about what I understand about democracy, is democracy is the people. And democracy is the power for people to share their opinion and something good, I think, for
right
for people to explain that.
Right.
Yes, as Karim said, it's power of the people. But then we have to ask, who are the people? Who are the people who have the power to participate in a democracy? Is it just those who have the status of citizens? Or should it be more a deeper idea of democracy? Should we hold a deeper idea of democracy? That means those who are living in our society, and should they be able to participate as well in the democratic process? It's not only of election, but in the everyday life of our society.
Right. So, as you're saying, at the basis of democracy, obviously you are referring to the idea that for a democracy to be real, at the foundation there is the idea that everyone is valued as a person in himself and with inalienable human rights before that person, even when that person is not a citizen. So in a way, democracy has to sort of play this game of regarding the rights of every person, whoever he is, but also in a way giving some sort of added rights or responsibilities to those who are regarded as citizens. And there is maybe a little tension there, Michael.
But I think, Clive, if please, Luis, correct me if I got you wrong. Okay, I think it's what Luis says is something deeper. Really, the category of people, because I mean, if I am a tourist, okay, if I'm a tourist in a country, hopefully they will respect my human rights. It doesn't mean that I am part of the people, whatever. The category of who are the people is very problematic. Keep in mind that when the, I don't know whether, I mean, this problem came out early and in some program, when originally you had the people having a say in government in Malta, it was, as it was the case in a lot of places in Europe, some 4% of the population.
Right.
Up to 1949, women were not considered part of the people. So this thing about the people, and it's a very fluid category. It's not something there which is obvious, and it's always changing all the time.
Right. When we mention the people, we tend to think or throw the focus on the unity or the singularity. However, obviously, this hides that diversity. The
diversity, and also has been very fluid as well.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, we need to remember here that the notion of democracy is coming out of a system, the Greek social system, which is predominantly based on the idea of space and dimension, so that there is always an inside and an outside with space and dimension. And of course, when we translate that into lifestyle, there are those who are living within the space, which we call democratic, and those who are living outside that space, which we call democratic. This was already a very serious problem with the Greeks themselves, because in ancient Athens and in these city-states themselves, they had the majority of the people were actually living outside the democracy. So the problem is already there within the subject itself.
Yes. So, Karim, you have passed through, or you have made this journey in a way,
yes,
this transition that Michael is talking about, from being a complete outsider. Maybe before you arrived in Malta, you had probably a very vague idea of what Malta is.
Did you know it existed?
Existed like
Malta. Did you know that Malta existed?
When you were in Ghana?
Yes, I have heard about Malta.
Yes, but
not that much, but yes.
Of course. So you went through this passage of being a complete outsider or arriving here as a total foreigner, and then through the 17 years. Obviously, also through a lot of effort from yourself, you integrated into the Maltese culture and made this passage towards becoming one of us, or
something like that. Not that exactly, but something, I think, something close. There is something that I want to speak about these things. Like, I think for about what I know and what I have seen, I think it is about time that if some people, like some of immigrants like me, someone like me, if someone like me integrates with some of the community very good,
mm-hmm.
This is about time that maybe I think, and have been living here for a long time, working, paying tax.
Yes.
You should give them opportunity to express their opinion and politics.
Right.
Because it's helped them to integrate very good, and also it helped them to unite with the citizens.
Yes.
And also it brings racism down.
Right.
Because when the people will start to vote, they will start seeing that they are also the same like the citizen.
Yes.
And I think it's something that will help us in the future. Not everyone.
Sense of belonging.
Yes, not everyone, but those who have been here for a long time, like 15 years or more than 15 years,
right.
Paying tax, have a good conduct.
Yes.
And have been integrated with the community very good.
Right.
I think it's
so
about
this it. Was, excuse me, this was the situation with women, actually. You know, less than 100 years ago, women in Malta were exactly in that situation, where they did not have certain rights that were given to men citizens, like the right to vote and to participate in structures like political structures and so on and so forth, educational structures. Now we have Dr. Louise Kirkop here, who is a lecturer at the university, but the journey was very long till we could come in 2021 to this situation.
What Karim is saying is very important, because if you look even at the basis, even if you look at the raison d'être of one of the first modern democracies, which is the American democracy, it was based precisely on that slogan, no taxation without representation. And even when you had the first claims in Malta for a democracy, basically it was that idea. So if a person, obviously, I mean, you don't expect someone who has been here for a week, paid VAT, and you say, look, he has to, but I mean, think about Karim. So Karim has been for 17 years or more.
17 years or more.
Okay, so he has been, he is older, has been in Malta.
Sorry, 15 years.
Okay.
15 years.
But in 2 years' time, okay, you will be older than the next cohort of voters. And still, okay, has been paying, has been employed regularly, and has been paying taxes, and still he cannot vote. And then you have a situation where you have people who buy a passport.
Exactly. Yes.
Ironically, Luciano Voggi, those who are into
possibly,
football will know.
Possibly not even residing in Malta, not even
and
paying
then,
taxes.
And
they
don't
the right
have
to
an
vote.
Interest to be here.
Yeah.
Really.
Yes.
And they have a right to vote.
Yes. So, Louise, if we had to sort of try and trace the line and maybe not, you know, draw a defining line, how would we start, in your opinion, to distinguish between sort of who has more or less crossed the line and who would, we would, in a way, trust to vote and to participate in our social and political life? We have the example of Karim here, who, as we're emphasizing, has been here definitely long enough, probably knows the Maltese, you know, culture and more than people who will be voting in the next election. Where do we start drawing the line? Would you have any sort of reservations or ideas there?
Well, first of all, every time we draw a line, we're excluding someone. So
exactly.
We have to be aware of that, that it's never completely a democratic issue. I would say that once people have, migrants have their papers in order, I think they should start to be able to participate in the democratic process. I would imagine that at first they wouldn't even be knowledgeable enough to know how to vote, but then not to know how to vote, to know to whom to vote.
Yes.
But then if we look at the Maltese population, is the Maltese population knowledgeable enough to vote to the right persons? Or so I think once they have their papers in order, they should be allowed to vote. That would give them, first of all, a sense, it makes them more, it gives them the feeling of belonging,
right,
that they're part of the community now. It makes them more, want to more participate more, for instance, in in what is happening, except that they are not marginalized. And it gives them more rights to participate in society.
Yes,
it could also be something gradual, first starting, I don't know, after a certain period from enough local council selections. And then, moving on, it could be kind of a gradual process.
So, Karim, if I understand well, would you vote in local councils or you?
I never vote, and I don't think so. That I have seen that there is opportunities coming that I'm going to vote for in the next election of local council. No, for now, I didn't see anything yet. I have been living in Zebuj for the past 12 years.
Right.
And then I have integrated very well in some of the band clubs.
Right.
And I can say there is many people who knows me a lot.
Yes.
And they knows me as a good person, but not in a bad way.
Right.
And till now, I think I have not even recognized as part of the community.
Right.
So, imagine for the past 12 years, you have been integrated in a community, in a band club, and many people know you, and you still not recognized as part of them.
Officially.
It doesn't give you strong to complete to integrate. Or if someone asks you, if someone like me asks me, how it's going on you with the people, I don't know how to tell them.
Yes.
Because I'm still the same like them.
Uh-huh. Right.
There is difference. The difference is maybe, I know the people, if I need help, they can help me,
right,
or we can help each other, but
it is,
you need something strong means that you are part of them.
A structural way of participating.
A structure.
But apart from the official voting procedure, as in the local council or national elections, do you find other ways, other opportunities of participating in the life of the village you live in or the community that you are part of? So are there ways, not in, you know, the country politics, in which you are already participating to the democratic process, to the life, the civil life of?
Yes, I think, in fact, many people see me like one of them, and they do respect me very good. They love me, and they see me one like. What I'm saying is that everything is about how your documents valid.
Right.
I think that if people can also vote like a local council or things, it give you more.
Yes.
More power.
Right.
Not merely vote, indeed participate, perhaps.
Participate,
some,
you know.
Some might be willing to participate.
I think that is the main
That would be a definite recognition.
Because friends, I can make it everywhere.
That is.
And maybe if I need help, it's not the community. Someone from even outside the community can help me.
Yes.
But with the, a certificate that give you something that give you more power and
formula
exactly to
so
strength to
so in a sense you still feel like a child in that field, in that area, whereas in fact you are an adult and participating in an adult way. Effectively, you are still being treated like a child by the state and by the community.
Not the community as such.
No,
formally.
Formally.
I mean, I see myself as one of them, and I think they see me like one of them. But in the reality is,
there is a line.
There is a, you know.
Yes. So, Luis, obviously, Karim is talking about official recognition. He may be recognized and accepted and even loved within the community, but for the state, there is still this line that you emphasized is obviously a line of exclusion. And that official recognition by the state would definitely, as Karim is emphasizing, be empowering for him to really be integrated and to feel as one of us. But do you think, as a state, what would be holding the state back from giving official recognition to people who may not have been born here or may not be naturally seen as one of us? What holds the state back, and I mean, what could be the reasons for them not being extended this hand of official recognition?
Well, I'm going to say what I think. I don't know whether it's the state really thinks or admits that it's
right.
The case. The state doesn't mind giving people the possibility to acquire citizenship if they have money.
Right.
So it's not an issue of being a foreigner.
Right.
That's the first thing that comes to mind. Secondly, I think even the public opinion
right.
would make the state very cautious about allowing migrants. And by migrants, now I'm talking about migrants who come here perhaps either undocumented or irregularly at first.
Right.
I think it's public opinion because they're afraid of losing votes.
Right.
So
they are following public sentiment mainly.
Yes, instead of being leaders.
They're being followers. Exactly.
Our politicians are just scared of losing support.
That's a huge, I think, issue because, I mean, if we really have people of goodwill and of vision in both parties, they could find a consensus and say
deal with this issue.
Isma, this is what we
yes, but
and sorry.
Also to be fair, however, obviously there is this element of fear, which is also has some value to it. I mean, and a living organism without fear would also be very vulnerable. So if we had to try and be a bit, you know, understanding to this, if you like, public sentiment of fear, after all, let's take an analogy, right? If someone knocks on our door and we find a stranger on our door, it is natural that we welcome the stranger, but with some element of hesitance.
Caution, I would say.
With caution, that's right. So in this sense, wouldn't you say that there is this, you know, element of balance that we have to reach, and rather than, you know, play down the fear, try and understand it and try and see how we can, in a way, negotiate the transition from a total foreigner to one of us or someone who is given the right to participate in the democratic process, because after all, in the democratic process has to also safeguard the people. So it's not as simple, you know, as just welcoming everyone and everyone becomes part of the people. Isn't there this game or this negotiation, that this transition that has to be somehow negotiated and filtered? How do we play this game in a way?
This is an important issue. The issue of fear is very important, because fear is that which arrests and paralyzes a community and indeed an individual from being active and therefore being creative. The antidote to fear is creativity. And if that creativity and that ability to respond to situations starts to fade and freeze up, then what is experienced is what is called fear. And of course, if one gives in to that, then one's society is doomed to decay. This is the issue here. And it seems as if the people who are responsible to change this direction in which things are happening are not actually seeing this.
In fact, sorry, Michael.
Yes, please.
Okay, later. It is understandable, as Clive said, that there's the fear. That's why I think it has to be gradual. But we have also to keep in mind one thing. Even government itself is projecting that in a few years the population will be about 700,000. Now, most of them, they are not children of traditional Maltese, whatever that means. We were an aging population.
Right.
So they will be here. They will be here in numbers. They are already here. Okay. Luis mentioned irregular immigrants. You have the vast majority are not irregular immigrants.
Yes, of course.
You have many third country nationals whose rights are, I mean, if someone read the Times recently.
Yes, just last time.
They even have problems. Now, the thing, even to us natives, so we have this thing, we have this, these various communities. At some point, I mean, if we treat them like something, whatever, I cannot find a decent word right now.
Extraordinary. Or out of the system, or...
This is a bomb that one day will explode and it will hurt us.
Yes, it is.
So it is a disservice, not just to people like Karim, who have been here for years.
But even to the local
native.
Even
to the local.
Because if it kills creativity, fear kills creativity, then the nation cannot develop. If there is no ability to respond, then what will happen is that you will get a reaction instead of response. Mm-hmm. And reaction always comes with an element of violence.
Keep in mind.
So that is a danger.
Keep in mind, as Karim mentioned earlier, because of local government. For instance, I don't know exactly the population, but a large chunk of residents of Marsa, they have no say on the local council. So that is disempowering. At one point, I don't know, I mean...
Yes, it's very serious.
It's very serious, it's a very serious thing, both for people who are being disempowered and for us. But we don't have...
If I may ask a question to Karim, maybe you want to ask.
Yes, Louis.
Louisa.
No, I was thinking about... I mean, I work a lot in schools. I know this conversation is not about schools, but... What happens with migrants in schools, for instance? It's like the only thing that the schools have addressed is the language issue by segregating the migrants, for instance.
Right.
So teachers, we have not addressed what needs to be done, both in schools and even outside in society. Politicians speak about migrants, about particular migrants, as if they shouldn't be here, we treat them really badly. So the public is surely going to feel afraid,
right.
Especially when they see the IRU going to Marsa.
Just
put that the document.
Right.
So the state itself instills fear sometimes.
Yes. Right. Karim, the fact that you cannot vote, does this stop you from taking an interest in Maltese politics, or do you follow what's going on in Maltese politics, maybe even at the local council's level?
Thank you for this question. The thing is that if you can vote, how can you speak about politics?
Mm-hmm.
Because for what I think is that if I can't vote, I cannot go outside to share my opinion with people who speak with politics.
Right.
Like, this is good or this is not good. Because once you start speaking, he's going to ask you, did you have vote?
Right.
So, did you have vote? You said, no.
No.
He said, but, so why are you speaking about politics? And he's right.
Right. So do you, in your community, do you participate in discussions about Maltese politics?
I like discussing about politics, and I like speaking with politics.
Right.
And at the moment, I know a lot of politicians, which some of Maltese even don't know, from ministers, opposition, a lot.
Yes.
Because
right.
I have been following news every time.
Yes.
And because I want to know every time what is going on in the country.
Right.
So if there is something here, I will know if there is something here. So
yes.
I always following Maltese news and especially politics. I like it. So, and also, you know, vote in Malta, vote is very important. But
yes.
Maltese vote is power.
Mm.
You understand what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
I think...
The politicians depend on...
Yes, exactly. Before I go to vote, first I have to tell you.
Yes.
I'm going to vote for you tomorrow. You know what I mean?
I want something back.
So vote with Malta is very power. And the other thing is, I think those who have integrated with the community and the community... I mean, if somebody integrated for 12 years, 10 years, come and live in the same community with the people, the people should know the person, if he's a good person or bad person.
But yes.
And I think the Maltese want the people to integrate with them, because we have to go with the Maltese,
yes.
because
yes.
We need to find them to integrate with them,
yes.
to so that they will know who we are.
Yes.
We cannot stay outside there waiting for them. No, that will never happen.
Yes.
We have to go
yes.
on them.
Right.
But if we are going on them to integrate, and we are not getting something,
which gives USA.
It doesn't give you strength to tell the others to come, or everyone wants to see something
yes.
before he move.
Right.
So I think those who have been integrated very well in the community, it is about time that they should recognize them
mm-hmm.
something,
yes.
so it will give the rest strength
yes. right.
to integrate as well.
It will also, once again, Tamaik, because one of the things certain people say, oh no, they are not one of us, they have their own thing, they want to do this, they want to do that. As Karim is saying, if it is planned out, it would give a greater incentive to integrate.
Sure. There is just one little thing that I would like to say about Karim. You speak about a good person and a bad person. Well, there are Maltese who vote who are not good persons. So this good and bad situation shouldn't even come into the equation. I mean, not all Maltese that are within the system are good. That is a fact. So even that wouldn't or shouldn't disqualify a person.
Probably none of us here would vote otherwise.
In this room, none of us would vote.
But
if it was about good and bad. But I think I know what you mean by a good person. You mean a person who is interested in the society.
Exactly.
A person whose eyes are open to how the dynamics of life happen.
Who takes an interest in the public thing,
an interest in living a better life
exactly.
together with others. Yes, please, Karim.
I was going to say that, especially, because a foreigner is different with a citizen. So you have to be more good
mm-hmm.
so people can recognize you.
Right.
So that's what I mean.
So there is an added
responsibility
for the beginning to people.
Now, is that right?
Always, not even the beginning. Even when you get in, you have to be responsibility
yes.
as a good person. So the others will.
Yes.
So
yes.
people will not be like, we have made a mistake for recognizing
yes.
you. You have to be an
yes.
example for the others, so
yes.
everyone will follow your
yes.
footsteps.
Yes. With those words, we will stop for a few minutes to have a break, to give a break to our guests, Karim Adams and Dr. Louise Kilcop. And after the little musical break, we will continue discussing the role of the foreigner in local democracy.
When they poured across the border, I was cautioned to surrender. This I could not do. I took my gun and vanished. I have changed my name so often. I've lost my wife and children, but I've many friends, and some of them are with me. An old woman gave us shelter, kept us hidden in the garret. Then the soldiers came. She died without a whisper. There were three of us this morning. I'm the only one this evening, but I must go on. The frontiers are my prison. Oh, the wind is blowing. Through the graves the wind is blowing. Freedom soon will come. Then we'll come from shadow. Thank you.
dans un grenier pour la nuit nous a caché les Allemands l'ont pris. Il est mort sans sourire.
Oh, the wind is blowing through the graves, the wind is blowing. Freedom soon will come. Then we'll come from the shadow.
So welcome our listeners back. We remind our listeners that we're talking about the role of the foreigner in the democratic process. And I will ask Dr. Louise Kirkop about the process of democratization. Now, there is probably a similarity or something which flows in the same direction when you have a child who is growing up in a democratic country. The process of education requires that this child is democratized in a way and taught the democratic values and processes. And probably it may be the same, or there may be the same process which needs to, or requires to go on when someone arrives from outside a democratic situation, or just maybe just from outside our own nation, to be in a way democratized within and in a way cultured within our way of playing the democratic game, because different cultures and different nations play the democratic game differently. Maybe Louise, you can tell us a bit how the state tackles this democratization, this education towards becoming a democratic citizen in schools.
Well, the vast experience that I have is in primary schools, and right, all I can say about the democratic process is that as long as students have a school council and a parent council, we regard schools as democratic. However, we do not teach students what it means to be a member of the school council, what it means to vote for the child, for a particular student, for instance. And I remember clearly once I was trying to teach my students who were 7, 8 year olds the meaning of their vote, the strength of their vote, I mean, obviously, for them to understand. And I remember the head of school coming in and telling me to stop.
Right.
So,
did he or she give a reason?
No, just, she just stopped me. So you can imagine, I mean, as far as I know and as far as I am aware, that is the only the vote. It's a very shallow conception again of right, what it means to be a democracy.
And thinking about it democratically, I mean, this is my personal opinion, everyone is free to disagree. Reducing that simply to voting, by the time they come to junior college and to university, it becomes a farce, because then you vote for pals because you have your friends, or you vote SDM because they give you a freebie. So it is.
Superficial manner of dealing with the situation.
Yeah, and it becomes more of a travesty as you progress. I would like to ask you, Louise, one thing. Is the situation better in church schools or private schools, or it's more or less the same thing? Or are there different realities, I don't know, in different church schools?
I mean, I think in church schools it might be different, because every church school has its own administration. It's not like central, like state schools. I know there's one church school which is quite democratic. I remember.
We can mention it, the name, because I mean, it's a good thing.
I mean, it's St. Albert. It's St. Albert. I remember when I interacted with the head of school, they discussed the issue of hunting, the issues of divorce. So it's very different from where I come from, where the only thing we did was praying that people do not vote for divorce. I mean, if you get
Right.
Yes. St. Albert, I think it's very good because also, correct me if I'm wrong, they also, when they have people belonging to religious minorities, they try to, and they have their own feasts, they kind of...
Include them.
They include them, yeah. They try to give them a recognition or say, I don't know, this guy's celebrating Diwali, yes. This guy's celebrating Ramadan. Tell us something about it.
Some state schools do that, but I think it's more of a focused approach rather than... Then really, because every day is diversity day. You're at school every day, not when it's Ramadan or there's still no sensitivity about.
So Louise, can I ask a question? I don't expect an answer, perhaps. I'm not sure, but. It is starting to seem as if these issues, this problematic that we're describing here, is more a question of the heart, in the sense that the child or the student or indeed even the adult needs an education of how to feel about that which is seen as the other, rather than how to act. Or alongside as how to act. But the action is obviously available because it can be mechanical. You know, I can give Karim his vote and all that. But what happens in my attitude towards him, that is very personal. And that is a very serious issue with our so-called democracy, is it?
Definitely. I mean, from my world, which is the world of schools, teachers need to recognize, for instance, their prejudices, their privilege as well. Mm-hmm. And even during our courses, they don't have the time to do that.
Right.
And I think that's important. I mean, you might not change your... If you recognize your prejudice, you might be more prone, being aware of it, to change your behavior or to be more careful in the way you speak and that. But if you don't even recognize it,
right?
I mean, you know.
Yes.
Thank you.
You have arrived in Malta at a very young age. Right.
Yes.
And obviously, when you arrived in Malta, you saw things very different. So, what were maybe some points or some aspects that struck you as different from your own country and related to the political system or to democracy? And maybe things that surprised you, that maybe you thought, here they do things this way and I need to change my ways to do... Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. First of all, I want to thank the Maltese people, and I want to thank everyone in Malta, especially the Maltese people, and because we were very welcome in Malta, even till now, everyone who is coming. Because since I come here, I have seen a lot of different things that I have never seen in my country.
Right.
For example, when it comes to human life, it's very important here. It's very important for human life and a lot of things, you know, many things about work and how they treat you and how they smile at you. You know, if you need help, if they have, they help you. Yeah. Even if they didn't have, they try to ask someone who have. Many differences that I have seen.
Do you think that it helped you because you were primarily living in a village where there is a strong sense of community? If you had to live somewhere, I don't know, certain places in Malta where everyone just rushes past each other, that I think would have been more difficult, Karim.
Uh-huh. I think even apart from that, the Maltese people are people who help. But it also, it depends on you. How you integrate with them. It doesn't matter you live in a far village or
wherever.
The important is where you live, you have to try to integrate with the people who live there, especially the citizens.
Right.
It doesn't matter you live in Slema or Valletta or Zebujo. Try to, because everywhere you go, you will find the Maltese. We said in Hamarsa there's a lot of foreigners, but still there is Maltese people who live there. And if you're a good person, and go inside them, they will recognize you. It doesn't matter if they see dyads make, maybe sometimes they make something.
Right.
The people are not seeing that. They are seeing who you are.
Right.
If they see you different, they don't have a problem with you to...
Right.
So here we have a very important statement that is being made, I suspect, Louisa and Michael, that on the ground, Karim is expressing an embracing of him. Somebody or something or people, he calls them, the Maltese, he is calling them, are embracing him on the ground. That is happening on the ground as we speak. And yet, here we are, around these microphones, speaking about how at another level, this, what's happening on the ground, is not actually being recognized and given status. So there is this tension.
There is this tension going on. The impression I have from people from my village who are Maltese, so born and bred, I think the attitude is in many ways an attitude of contradiction. In what sense? There are African people who work in my village, or for instance selling flowers, etc. Everyone brings them tea, etc., etc. Take some cake, take this, take that. However, if you had to ask those people, okay, those people, would you be in favor of this guy having the right to vote? They would say no.
You see, there is this tension.
There is this tension. So we have to start from this tension.
Yes.
And why this tension is generating the fear, Clive is saying. I think in this respect, with all due respect, even certain activists who simply dismiss the people, people are racist, full stop, it's wrong, because people are, they have racist vibes, definitely, you cannot deny it. I mean, with all due respect.
The question is, where is that racist behavior coming from?
Exactly.
Because it doesn't seem to be coming from themselves, since on the ground...
Keep in mind, this is my impression, obviously, it's as everything in some material.
Yes.
I mean, we are the product of a culture. Now, we our culture was profoundly influenced by Christianity, which tells you to help, okay, to love the other as thyself. At the same time, our brand of Christianity was European, and we also have colonialism. Colonialism was based on the premise that people like, not just Karim, people like us, that they cannot rule, we cannot rule, we are by nature inferior. So we have somehow mixed up those things.
Good.
I think we have to, that is something which has to be addressed as well.
Right.
So, yes, and I think that when we know a person, we regard him or her as one of us. All right, even though he might be a migrant,
right.
like others, but this one is one of us, but the others in general aren't. So
This one is okay, but the others aren't.
But you see, this is very similar to our fetish in Malta, to clean our houses and keep them spick and span, spotless, and not take any notice of what's going on in the street, not dealing with the rubbish that we put out on the road. It's a similar situation. Within the house, outside the house. It's a problem. Karim?
Yes. I think on this point, for what I believe is, we have to go in. That is the problem we have here. Mm-hmm. The integration.
Right.
Everywhere you live, try to integrate with the Maltese.
Right.
Yes.
I'm not saying don't.
Integration is a two-way process. You feel you've integrated because the people have accepted you as well.
Okay.
So I mean, it's a two-way process.
From your end
and from the end of the people of Zapu, so to speak.
Yes.
So.
Yes, but. So, Karim, you're saying you feel this responsibility to make the first step. So.
Yes, because when you made the first step, sometimes they say, you are not like the others.
Yeah.
Why they say like this? Maybe there is someone also who are better than me.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the others didn't go
where they are. Step.
They didn't try to integrate with them. That's why they don't know who they are. And if you put it in your mind that they are racist, everywhere in this way, there is racism, even your own country, even ourselves, who we are here, some of the immigrants, we are not.
Yes.
the same, you know, we have something, some racism between us.
Yes, there is. So,
everywhere, I tell you, everywhere. In my region, there is, we have racism.
Yes.
Racism is something that is, I'm not going to say something good.
No, it's a we problem. Have to,
but it's something issue. That is natural it's, thing it's and it is everywhere.
Right.
So, I think we have to put there something that we call it out of our mind. Because if you think of these things every time on your mind, you can go, where is the people?
Right.
Because you always think maybe they will not like you. So it will always keep you out.
Out.
So right. You have to take it off. And always try to, you know. And then I think the, some of the problem is we have to go in to the movie.
Right.
Because
right.
They don't know who we are.
Yes.
We didn't send them invitation that we are coming, and they didn't send that invitation. Yes. They are here and we just come.
Yes.
So
yes.
You have to present yourself to them to know who you are. But if you don't go near, you know, so those who go near them and they stay with them, they know who they are. When they speak with the people, they know how to say, oh, this one is like
that. One is like that, yes.
Yeah. But this, the, I, well, my, so, sorry, try to charge, Alu, sorry.
No.
My two cents, I mean, what Kaim is saying is very right. That one of the roles of the state, especially education in the institutions, and not just the state, I would say even parishes, is to get these people to meet each other. Mm-hmm. Because once you meet the other, you realize that at the end of the day, he likes football, he may support a different team.
Yes.
But
yes.
Not as good as mine, but...
So yes. What we're saying, obviously, that the complexity of democracy in itself comes down to a bunch of contradictions, in a way, in every single human being. That and on one aspect, we are friendly, and like Karim was saying, we welcome other people, and it makes us feel good also about ourselves. But on the other hand, we may have our fears, our you know, suspicions and all that. And we must somehow deal with this complexity. I think we need also leadership in this, that I need help. Let's put it this way. If I'm faced with the complexities of democracy, faced with the complexities of a very diverse and fluid society, as an individual, I may feel overwhelmed by all these differences, all these things that I need to deal with. And so there is also, what I'm trying to get to, is a very big responsibility from the state to help us face these fears, face these challenges, so that we can develop democracy in this direction where we can be more hospitable and more empowering to the people who are here with us. So obviously, if they are empowered, it helps us.
And also a bigger responsibility from the ground up in the issues of being creative with meeting the other and seeing that the other is nothing else than an expansion of their values. It's not as if meeting the other is going to crash your values. It's just going to expand them. So this requires an element of creativity, which education needs to really work hard on here in this country.
This is a real fear of people who think that the other, the foreigner, the migrant, is going to change our values and our culture, as if there's something static that they were like they are since forever, and they will remain so. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult, I mean, from experience with teachers, it's very difficult for us to realize that culture is static, and it's always changing, and it's influenced through so many different channels.
Yes, the liquidity of culture.
Yes,
the currency of it, yes.
Unfortunately, time is always something we're chasing, and it is also running out on this very interesting discussion. But just to maybe a word of conclusion, we have emphasized, and Karim emphasized for us, the hospitality and the acceptance that he received from us. So
if anything, these are words of encouragement that our democracy is not failing completely in its responsibilities towards also embracing the foreigner. But also I think a very interesting and very important point is the fact that Louise Kirkop has just made that our culture, any culture, if it is alive, it is fluid and it needs to grow and change. And the fear that we must overcome from the idea that, you know, a different culture will come in and change our culture, that is a fear that must be overcome, because a culture that doesn't change is a culture that is dying. And unfortunately, we need to close there. I will once again thank our guests, Karim Adams and Dr. Louise Kirkop, Michael Zamit and Michael Gregg, and our technician, Redent Abdullah. Thank you very much.